Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue to make our way through the gospel readings given to us, the chapter 8, the last few days of John's gospel we've been looking at, and it's intense drama. It's the battle between Jesus and the religious rulers of Israel. Jesus is giving the deepest revelation of who he is. He's revealing what no human mind could come to know and understand under its own power. Jesus is unveiling. He's opening up the truth at the deepest level of who God is, who he is, the condition of the human heart. And this is intense drama between light and darkness, between the rule of God and the rule of sin, between the rule of the kingdom and his king, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, the powers that are at work resisting God and the will of God. Intense drama. It's absolutely fantastic and so critical. This helps us in the season of Lent because the drama, this is our story. This is your story. This is the drama that's going on in your life and mine. I'm no different than the Pharisees, and you're no different than the Pharisees. Their condition, as Jesus describes it, apart from baptism, apart from the life of God given to us in Christ, is we're right there. And we're still battling against these powers of the world of flesh and the devil in this fallen world. And it'll be that way until we go home. And we can gain, the good news is, and why Lent is such a critical time of the year, we can gain dominion and we can gain power over the work of sin in our lives. And we can resist the flesh and we can resist the devil with the help of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're born again if you're baptized into Christ by water and the Spirit. You're a child of God. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You don't have to be subject to the power of sin and all of its elements and the dominion of darkness and its fears and its shame and its power and its lusts and its greed, all these things. You can become free. You can start to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're after, is cooperating with God and knowing the diagnosis of our condition, knowing who it is who has saved us, is critical to being able to come into a fuller awareness and experience of God's presence and power in our lives. Because I always remember, to be Christian means you're christened. It means you're anointed. You're anointed with what? The Holy Spirit. To be a Christian means you're born again by water and the Spirit. And to walk out your life in this world is to live under a new power, the power of the Holy Spirit, who now dwells in you as in a temple. This is what Jesus is moving toward. This is what he's revealing, and he's the one who makes it happen. And again, despite what some priests might say or some theologians might say, this is not an automatic. You don't automatically get this by virtue of being a human being or being a creature. You get it by hearing the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and repenting and believing in him the same way he's demanding that the religious leaders believe in him. Jesus isn't saying to them, hey, you know what? You already got it. You just have this false self or this false way of looking at yourself. Just remove the false self. You see that you're already saved on the path that you're on. Go for it. That's not his message. He's talking about exposing the sin-sick condition in the human heart and the need for a physician to heal it, for a heart transplant, and that comes from Christ. It's not just a deception that people are under, and just remove the deception and notice that you're already there. No, we need to be born again, because we're not born again. Every human being bears the image of God. Every human being is of infinite value in the eyes of God. But not every human being is a child of God in the sense that Jesus is speaking about it. That's God's gift to us through his Son. So here we go. John 8, I'm going away and you will look for me, but you will die in your sin. This is what we talked about yesterday, right? And how did he end up? Yesterday's passage, I want to actually begin there. So Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am. the very way in which God gave his name. He spoke from the burning bush to Moses. The revelation that Moses received, this is shaking the world of the Pharisees now, because Jesus is saying the same thing about himself. And he says, I do nothing on my own. Here's the transfer. Here's the way to become a follower of Jesus is to do exactly this, to do nothing on my own. And then he goes on to say, but I say only what the Father taught me. So what you're going to do and I'm going to do as a follower of Jesus is come deeper and deeper into this gaze on the Father, this heart and mind united to the Father and the Father's love, and in that same position where we say, I only do what the Father taught me to do through his beloved Son, Jesus. The one who sent me is with me. Same thing. The one who baptized me, the one who saved me, Christ is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. My Father is with me. He's not left me alone. You're not alone. That's why Jesus said, I'm with you always. Don't be afraid of anything. You're never alone. Because I always do what is pleasing to him. Why is he not alone? Because I always do what's pleasing him. I'm in the will of God. If I'm in the will of God, God's with me. What is pleasing to him? That's the heart of Jesus. And that's what Jesus wants to bring us into. By giving us a new heart, we start to love and desire what is most pleasing to God. That becomes our passion, our life motive. Not just to get ahead, get rich, be comfortable, get famous, get powerful, be accomplished, all that kind of stuff. There's some real good that can happen in the midst of all that, obviously. But it becomes your first love, putting first things first. You were made for God. I was made for God. I was made not to be on this planet and live as if God doesn't exist and go do my thing. I was made to know, love, and serve God. And so were you. Okay, so today's reading, John 8, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, because remember it said at the end, some believed in him. That is, they accepted what he said about himself and that they needed salvation. Jesus said, if you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples. So they received his word. This is how the gospel goes forward. This is the good news. Jesus is talking about really good news. He's saying the hard stuff about the condition of everyone, including the religious leaders, and how they needed to change and what was needed. So Jesus communicates that bad news very clearly, and it upsets people. Now, there's a lesson there. Love itself came in the flesh in Jesus, perfect love. And perfect love spoke the truth in love. Didn't avoid it. He didn't just come to affirm everybody's truth. He came to declare the truth because he's the one who knows the truth. So they received the word and they became his followers. He said, so if you remain now in my word, what does it mean to be a disciple? Is to receive the diagnosis of Jesus about the condition of your heart, your need for salvation, the truth about who he is, repent and believe. And that repentance means, as St. John Paul II described it at one point, a total and radical commitment right from the outset. That's our intention, he said. That's in Redemptoris Missio. So this is faith. Jesus said, if you believe in me, that is, if you exercise faith, you believe the words I speak as true, and then you entrust yourself to me, and I'll lead you home to the Father. So the Holy Father described it that way. He said that that act of faith is from the beginning, it's intention. That's the core of the intention of your heart. And hearing God's word is to make a total and a radical commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the faith that Jesus calls forth. Not a lukewarm faith, I'll put my toe in the water, I'll live in the twilight, I call the shots, yes, I'll be a good boy. No, it's very clearly, I now see, Lord. You're giving me eyes to see, and I give you my whole life. You're now the center and purpose. You're the reason I get out of bed in the morning. You're what I have passion for. And in a world, friends, where there's a lot of passion about a lot of things, we have to be careful. Because the first passion of a disciple is the love of God and the will of God and to please God. So we can get that backwards. You say, hey, my passion is to be the best quarterback in the world. Okay, that's a good passion. But it can get out of order, like, no, this is my passion, and I want God to help me get what I want from that passion, you know, that the goals that I'm setting for myself. I said, no, I always put first things first. And then the Lord loves it when we walk in the right kind of decisions with our loves ordered properly. That's, again, that's partly what Lent's about. So let's go back to Jesus. He said, if you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, my learners, my followers, those who identify with me. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Boy, there's a big line for us in this day and age. One of the most insane things that has gone out across the world, the first world in particular, so to speak, the Western world, and the great lie that everybody has their own truth. Everybody declares their own truth. And we're all in agreement now that everybody's truth is true. So if a man says he's a woman, that's true. If a five-year-old boy says he's a girl, that's his truth. And that's absolutely true. And the whole world has to dance around that now and has to accept that. Well, that's not true. Or there's many ways to God and everybody follow their own bliss and there's no need for quote-unquote salvation. We're already good. And just being true to ourselves is the name of the game. And as long as you're true to yourself, you're saved if salvation is even needed. All these ideas are in the world. Those are lies. Why? How do I know that? Because Jesus made it clear. You will know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. So there's a false freedom that dominates the world. We go back to what is it? That's the world. That's the flesh. And that's the work of the enemy. The fallen world is not a world of genuine freedom. The freedom that we need is the freedom of the Spirit, the God's freedom, the freedom over the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's freedom. And freedom to be a child of God, to walk in the will of God like Jesus did, to be like Jesus. That's freedom. Jesus said, okay, you've received my word. So friends, this word you're hearing today, if you receive the words that are coming out of my mouth that come right from the word of God, if you receive that word, that's Jesus speaking to you. And if you receive it into your heart, you believe Jesus' words are true, and you surrender yourself in trust in a radical way to that truth. You dedicate your life to it, to a person who brought you that truth. You are truly his disciple. You become his follower. And then Jesus said, as a result, you'll know the truth. You're made for the truth. That's why people talk about truth all the time. We're made to know the truth. But guess what? We don't make it up. Truth is what we receive. We come to know and understand with God's help. And what will that truth do? It'll set you free. So if it's this truth that sets you free, so no matter how much people in the world beat their chests and how much the powerful and the wealthy and the kings of the earth boast about their freedom and their influence and their truth, it's only temporary. The devil loves it when we prance around the world and boast about our truth. I've got my own way. I'm my own man. Nobody tells me what to do. I make up my own commandments, way, life, all the rest. The devil loves that. And he'll be right behind us. He'll put wind at our back. He'll throw trophies at us. He'll decorate our lives. So we just keep boasting and then declaring that we're free. And the whole time we're under slavery to him because we're still dead in our sins. That is what Jesus is getting after here. He said, they answered him, we are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? Jesus said, amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. Here's a theme we're going to touch on tomorrow. We're going to finish this. What is a slave? What's a son? God bless you. Hope you can join me.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.